cameras and hate.
Tumpar ay kopyang mo sa may mga sa yukar ang Frankie Fernandez, Melbourne, Australia sa tumka yung goyin sa kobro kok nitilan pawita al junachi atawis tari. Surwate kobor, halkya disa ning goyant dur disak agitation azatat. Aning goyinkar apli goyin chi dies, identity, fudle pilke sambalun dur pak hi agitation akortat. Adlo goyin sa mukel montri, Luisin Falero, hane goyant sangle.
Goa is also seeing every day lot of agitations. And people are agitating for maintaining the identity of Goa and Goans, for protecting its culture and especially the natural heritage of Goa and handing over to the posterity. So therefore I said it represents a paradox. On the one hand, Goans have done well. Goans have done better than other parts of India. On other hands, Goans are not happy. Goans are leaving Goa. Goa's identity is eroding day by day. And therefore, it needs the agitations, it needs the support, and it needs the movements which are happening today. Goa is marching ahead, Goa is progressing, and therefore we should not lose hope. Only thing, my greatest worry is many, many Goans are leaving Goa for better jobs abroad, especially Europe and all that. So we have to bring them back. We have to pool our resources. We have to pool our intelligentsia. And we have to bring back Goa as it was in the earlier years.
Dusri Kobor, Anek Paut, Subhash Velinkar. Here now Adi Aikola Astele, Hane, Marathi Bashak, Goichi Raja Basha, Zaunchi Mun, Magni Keli. Ani Hevedar, Goyant, Portuguese Kala Raj Kortelang, Hachir, Nished Mallo.
He killed Jiai, Portugal, Darjane, but ती वळवळत आहे आणि अजून ती संपलेली नाही परंतु ती वाढत आहे फोफावत आहे तर त्याचा एक दुष्परिणाम म्हणून या लोकांनी काही लोकांनी हे ऑनलाईन पिटिशन जे आहे हे युनोकडे केलेलं होतं आणि त्याच्या स्वतंत्र राष्ट्राची मागणी त्यांनी केली त्यामुळे ही निषेधार्ह गोष्ट आहे मराठी राजभाषेची मागणी हा देखील आम्ही राष्ट्रीयतेचा प्रश्न मानतो गोव्याची राष्ट्रीयता जर शिल्लक राहायची जर असेल तर मराठी राजभाषा झालीच पाहिजे अशा प्रकारची आमची मागणी आहे
या सुभाष विलिंगकर हका ग्लोबल कोंकणी फोरम हाचो जुजे साल्वादोर फर्नांडीस हाणे जबाब दिलो
या दिसांनी गोयांत मराठी भास गोयच्या राजभास कायद्यांत घालपाची एक चळवळ चालू आसा आनी ही चळवळ सुभाष वेडिंगकर जो चलयता तो मनांत घुस्पल्लो कहो दिसता गोंयांत जें घटकराज फावो जालें स्टेट फूड फावो जालें तें भाशेचेर आदारून फावो जालें म्हणचे गोंयची राजभास पयली कोंकणी तारायली आनी ते भाशेचेर आदारून गोंयांत घटकराज फावो केलें म्हणटोच आतां गोंयच्या राजभास कायद्यांत दुसरी भास येवपाचो प्रश्नूच येना देखून हांव म्हणटालो इतलें शिकोवप आसलेल्या आनी जाणार म्हूण समजतल्या सुभाष वेळिंगकराक ही गजाल कशी समजना तें म्हाका खबर ना आनी तो मनांत खंय तरी घुस्पला अशें दिसून येता दुसरें सुभाष वेळिंगकर पुर्तुगेजांचो आनी रोमी लिपीचो खूब दुयेंस कोत्ता ताच्या सांगण्या प्रमाणे पुर्तुगेजांनी गोंयांत रोमी लिपी हाडली आनी रोमी लिपी तांणी गोंयांत कित्याक हाडली हाचेंय तो कारण दिता ताच्या सांगण्या प्रमाणे पुर्तुगेजांच्या काळार जाणी धर्म बदल्लो त्या लोकांक मराठींतल्यान वाचूंक दिवंक जाय आसलें म्हणून पुर्तुगेजांनी रोमी लिपी हाडली आनी ते रोमी लिपींतल्यान तांणी मराठी भास बरयली आनी त्या लोकांक वाचूंक दिली. अशें आसा जाल्यार सुभाष वेळींगकर जो मराठी भाषेक 1000 वर्सांची परंपरा आसा म्हूण सांगता ताणें 450 वर्सां गोंयांत पुर्तुगेजांनी राज चलयलें त्या पुर्तुगेजांचे आनी रोमी लिपीचो काळजांतान उपकार आटोवंक फावो. कित्याक पुर्तुगेजांनी रोमी लिपी वापरून मराठी भाशेक उबारून दवरली आनी हो उपकार ताणें आपणाचे गांठीक मारून दवरूंक जाय आनी पुर्तुगेजांक ताणें देव बरें करूं म्हणूंक जाय.
खबर आतां ओल्ड गोवासून गोंयकार तशेंच हांगा रावतल्यांनी गोंयच्या सरकारा लागीं मागणी करीत आसात की ओल्ड गोवा मास्टर प्लॅन तयार करचो म्हूण. पूण गोंयचो बीजेपी सरकार हाणें आज पर्यंत हाचेर कांयच मन दिवं ना. अशें सांगतना ओल्ड गोवाचे पंचायत हाणें गेल्ल्या सुमारांत सेंट ऑगस्टीन टावर हाच्या सामकाराक ह्या हेरिटेज झोनान हातून एक बांदकाम चल्लो आसलें तांकां स्टॉप वर्क नोटीस काडलो. हाचे आदीं गांवच्या लोकांनी ह्या कामा बाबतींत निशेध मारलेलो. आयकात,
आमी आतां ऑगस्टीना टावरा कडेन सोकलाक आसाय बफर झोनान आनी हे सायडीन चयल्यात जायते ते प्रोजेक्ट काडूचे ते सद्याक वो ताका हेंच ना, पंचायतीन हें दिल्लें ना, कोणें दिल्लें ना, पूण ते चोरयां बंद करून काडूंक जाय ते. आनी तशें हें फॉरेस्ट डिपार्टमेंटान तेमी दिल्या सगळीं झाडां आसात ती कातरूंक करतात. आनी तशें आमी सीएमा कडेन ना जावं आमचे एमएलए कडेन मारलेले आसा तशें पंचायती सगळें एकठांय घेवन आमचो मास्टर प्लॅन तयार करचो म्हूण तेन्ना हे कांय येवंक आमी दिवचे ना हेच्या फुडें. पूण आमकां जाय मास्टर प्लॅन फस्ट. आमी सरकार लागीं मागलें, सगळ्यां लागीं मागलें, आनी एकदां मागता पंचायती कडेन सगळे कोण अधिकाऱ्यांचे कडेन सगळ्या कडेन सीएमा कडेन आमकां मास्टर प्लॅन दिवचो.
तर ह्यो जाण आसले आमच्या सुसेगाद दोंपार गोंयच्यो खबरो मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सावन. मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमारात, ते मेरेन मोग आसंदी.
माया मोगोचो येवकार सर्व आयकतल्यांक आयच्या सुशेगाद दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रामार. म्हजे नाव रिची. आम्ही वो प्रोग्राम ब्रॉडकास्ट करता 104.0 प्लॅनेट एफ एम वयता. म्हजे सांगात आज आसा म्हजो इस्ट बॅप्टिस्ट आणि आमचो आयसो सैरो ताचे नाव आसा फजल रोखाडिया. वेलकम टू अवर प्रोग्राम फजल, हाव आर यू?
I'm good, thank you so much Richard. It's been a pleasure being over here. I've been listening to radio when I was young in the eras of 80s and 90s, if people remember, and I've never thought I'm going to be on radio one day. So it's truly an honor and a privilege to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
So you must have been a Binaka Mala fan or the so-called late night
Ceylon radio. Radio and
yeah.
things like that.
Probably.
So Fazal, tell us something about yourself. You know, when I read your name, Fazal Rokhadia, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Rokhadia.
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
I said Rokhadia sounds very Maharashtrian. What's the connection?
So I'm from Mumbai and my heritage goes back to being a Gujarati. So that's my dual heritage from Maharashtra and Gujarat.
So your parents are originally from Gujarat, is it?
Not my immediate parents, but definitely my forefathers and my ancestors have migrated from Gujarat to Maharashtra.
So you speak Gujarati?
I can understand really well, but I can't speak fluently. I can speak few basic, but not fluent.
Okay. So you have been in New Zealand for a very long time?
I've been in New Zealand for about 12 years now.
Yeah. And you would have been doing various roles like most immigrants?
That's correct, yeah. So I came here to do my master's in business. I've done my master's in marketing and operation. And, you know, being a migrant to this country, I did started with quite a few roles. I worked for a corporate, so I've been involved into leadership and management role for tourism sector. So I've did that for quite a few years before I decided I found my actually passion and love for the property, and that happened, and then I moved into real estate.
I was reading your blog and your profile on social media, and one of the sentences that really caught my attention was 1% work, or rather 1% luck and 99% work. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. See, I believe in
that's your philosophy, I believe.
That's my philosophy, right? Like, nothing happens for a reason. You make it happen. So behind every success, the majority of the thing, it's hard work. And hard work always goes unnoticed. That is working behind the scenes, you know, doing all those due diligence, learning the skills, like in real estate, learning the power of negotiation, which is so important. Communicating, because that's where majority of the breakdown lies, right? Effective communication is such a big key when you're dealing with emotions, people, property. It's one of the biggest assets of each individual. So I think those things plays quite an important part. And also real estate, there's a lot of legality involved as well, the technical competence that's needed in real estate. So and the laws are ever changing, so we have to be on top of our toes, you know, every time when there's some new legislation or new act or anything that comes into play. So it's a lot of hard work that goes behind the scenes, you know, which people might not even know. So that's why I said, you know, it's just not like it's a lot of hard work that goes behind to make every success.
But coming from Mumbai, you know, you would be pretty smart at negotiating. Right, from negotiating the traffic to negotiating on the train.
I think I learned
negotiating
that.
Negotiating with the vegetable vendors.
I think I learned that very young, especially, you know, like in Mumbai, there's something called Fashion Street, you know, near Azad Maidan. I'm sure lots of listeners would be knowing. And you go there and you learn some great skills, you know, if you have to buy some trendy and fashionable clothes.
So what is your day like? Is it 12 hours? Is it 8 hours? Like, many people have this impression, you know, these real estate guys must be, you know, sitting with their legs on the table and twiddling away their thumbs. So what's your day like?
So it could be true, there are some days like that. But no, it's a lot of hard work that goes behind the scenes. So my days could be any, I mean, it depends variously. Like some days I worked 16 to 18 hours, you know, but my day usually starts at like 4 a.m. in the morning. So I get up, do all the, you know, it's all admin, it's all stats, it's about reading the news and everything. And then I hit the gym in the morning, 5 to 6. I come back, you know, get my kids ready, drop them to school, and then actually my day starts. And that goes on till the evening. And being a real estate, it does require you to be flexible around people time, because majority of the people that could be my vendors or buyers usually work during the day. So we have to be flexible to accommodate them to go, and because real estate is done face to face, you know, like no matter how much technology we have, it's a business which is done face to face. So we often have to find, you know, late evenings, you know, where sometimes I'm negotiating till like 9, 10, 11 p.m. in the evening. So it's like being on the clock 24/7, you know, it never stops, it never starts for me.
So Baptist, he doesn't get time to play
bridge. Like me, yes. So I'm in a different profession, you see.
Yeah. But you're also in some form of, you know, negotiating with people, negotiating with the tax guy.
Yeah. I am. But we only work during office hours, 9 to 5. And during that time, everybody is there. So sometimes I also meet my clients who are not able to make it during the day, who are working, who are property owners and things like that, and I meet them in the evening. I also work on weekends. Richard, you're having a false impression that I only all play and no work makes a jack a dull boy. Like that, I have work, I have play, I balance my life accordingly. So
yeah, we know that. Just now you mentioned that we have not met in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's, I'm very busy. That means.
So, Fazal, since we all go through different jobs and different areas of work, what is the skill set that you believe that your current job has been nurtured by you through the previous other roles that you have held?
I would say the core skill is like key attention to details. It's really something that I've learned over the years, you know, to pay close attention, because I think that's one of the things that's really important. Missing on few details could be seen simple, but I have seen that has cost hundreds and thousands of dollars to any party, you know, if you miss on something. So it's really important, you know, to be very diligent when you're dealing with such a biggest transaction, you know. So people put such a big trust on you. So it's really important, you know, you do your work quite diligently.
So attention to detail is very important.
Absolutely.
You also believe that you're a good negotiator. So they say you're a lovable guy as well as you are a good negotiator. Are you a hard negotiator or some sort of a flexible negotiator?
I think it's really hard to commend. Over the years, and I've learned one thing, is to keep yourself calm under pressure, you know, and that's one of the key skills I think I've learned. And that really helps, you know, because when I'm there at the table negotiating, you know, you got to remain calm, you got to keep the emotion aside, and you got to talk about the facts. And that's when you do that, you know, it becomes very simple, it becomes very easy for both the parties to see, you know, where the numbers lies. So yeah.
So just to add on to that, do you take the seller's side or the buyer's side? It depends on whom you're working with, right?
No, so it's both, right? See, I wouldn't say, I have to be very neutral in this game. You can't take anyone's side, right? Because a seller wouldn't sell if it's not the fair price to him that he is happy with. And again, same goes with the buyers, right? Buyers are always looking for a bargain, always looking for a deal. So for them as well, it has to be a fair market price. It has to be fair value for both, where both the buyers and sellers are happy.
So how do you determine the market price or the fair value? Because the seller would like to get the top dollar.
Absolutely.
And the buyer would like to get a bottom dollar. So how do you understand from the psyche of both is where is the midpoint kind of a situation?
I think it's very subjective, you know, where is the fair value, because there's right. no, the property doesn't come with a RRP how it happens in India, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
like you must have seen Godrej, Hiranandani.
Yeah, but that's a price.
Exactly. Whatever they sell, it's a fixed price. Like
absolutely.
Here property doesn't come with a fixed price, right? So it's very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
How it's determined is based on the campaign styles.
Right.
We have five methods of sale over here in New Zealand.
Right.
So we choose based on the personal circumstances of what exactly you're looking for. What's your personal situation like?
Right.
And we take everything into consideration, and then we decide which would be the right campaign to go ahead, you know, based on your personal situation.
So that's from the seller's point of view?
That's from the seller's point
from
of view.
From a buyer's point of view, is there any place or a ballpark figure where the buyer can look, okay, this is the right price for the property, should I negotiate to that level or should I pay a little bit more because I liked the property? How does that work?
I think it comes down to it's very personal, right? I've seen buyers paying a lot more than the market value if they actually really fell in love with the property.
Right.
So that's really important for the buyers to see, can they consider themselves living in this property? Do they consider calling their friends for entertainment?
Yeah.
Do they consider their children growing in this house? You know, if they have pets, would this house be suitable for their pets? You know, so those things often go into consideration when a buyer is determining a value for the property. And if it ticks all the box, if a house, you know, like I deal with so many buyers and vendors, you know, like when a buyer step into the house, I've seen that feeling from the buyers, you know, as soon as they step into the door, they are like, okay,
this
I really fell in love with this house. I would love to own this house, you know. So it's really important as a vendor to have all those elements ready, especially when you're going onto the market.
So once you know, oh yeah, this person has smiled and this person wants to buy the house, so you know this is, I have to attack this person and sell it at the highest price. What is that the way it works?
Yeah, no. So it doesn't.
I'm just.
Yeah, yeah. No. That's very fair caution,
yeah,
right? But
yeah.
it doesn't go that way. So what we do, like majority of the properties, usually these days in New Zealand goes via auction,
right,
where it's a very fair and transparent way of determining the market value. So what happens, like, it's not a negotiation going behind the scene. It's
no.
a very fair and transparent competition.
Mm-hmm.
But buyers know who are the next buyers, you know. They are bidding against each other for the top price to secure the property.
We'll talk about the auction part of it. Do you want to?
No, I just wanted to come back because we thought into an area which is. I just wanted to come back to yourself. You know,
yeah.
You have been in this business for around about 3 years plus.
Yeah.
What do you think? Have you made the right choice to be in this profession, or do you think that there could have been other areas that you could have gone into?
I think it's still
definitely,
and that always comes at back of the mind. Right, whether I've made the right choice or, you know, like definitely. But, you know, when I see helping my clients, you know, helping my colleagues, my friends, it gives me that, you know, satisfaction that, yeah, I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, as I mentioned, real estate has its ups and downs. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not like a 9-to-5, you know, where I've done 8 hours and I'm done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It does require lots of hard work. So there are lots of ups and downs. But when you get high, when you see the paycheck as well, you're like, okay, I've made the right choice.
So on balance, do you think that the successes are more than the downsides in your short period of about plus 3 years plus? What has been the worst side of your...
I think it's still still a learning curve for me, and I'm just determined to keep it going. It's been, by God's grace, I've had some fairly good success, so I'm happy.
So what's the big one that you felt great about?
Every day, you know, every day, like it's great, you know, like I think the best satisfaction I get when I'm settling the property, you know, when the new owners are moving into the property, the joy they have on their face, that's just priceless, you know. You being part of their journey, someone moving into their first home, you know, and some people have saved it for a few years, some people save it for pretty much their lifetime to get into the first home. So being part of the journey, it really something that you can't have in any other profession or a 9-to-5 job. So
let's take a break, Fazal. Let's listen to this song called Tara Boom Boom. A pretty old song, but sung by one of the most prolific and very lovely singers called Sonia Shirshat. Eta chera chumuga me kela ani jura minta kadila to munta makau darling bella moja monan togela zoso fula tsokolo fulta osori baba chumuga tsolta zokoni chero chere bak bulta magi to moga chazana rauta kurun kata tara bum 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 tara tara bum 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 kitere to mok tara bum bum bum
Mogan putus pile bore dista todos te toca zarigonasta agir baba dusmani un gusta mokor kitle babade posta horis to moktara bum 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 tararara bum 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 makasai bakori na kai bum 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 tararara bum 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 horis to moktara bum 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 tararara bum 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 kitere to moktara bum 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 Sangitur sotta, ani fulte jivita tutta, mumsai te zaran pori putta, tole begin san zarat le botta. Itere to moktu ka puluita, sukancha painar doluita, uzolaita ani paluita, raza patshain ta sona loita. Horez to moktara bum bum bum, tararara bum 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 bum.
That was Sonia Shirshat singing Tararara Boom Boom Boom. We have Fazal Rukadia in our studio today talking about his work in the property matters or property sales or real estate as it is called normally. And I have my friend Baptist who is back on the radio after a long time. I don't know where he was, but I believe you were not well, Baptist. I hope everything is fine and
everything
working.
Everything is on track now, yes.
Yes, okay, great.
I brought him back.
Fazal, let's get down to understanding the market today. As we all know, the market goes up, the market goes down. There are factors internally, factors externally that influence the market. What in your personal view or your professional view is the current state of the housing market?
Yeah, so the current state of the housing market has been gradually stabilizing the market. Like, we had few challenging years, especially once COVID happened, you know, the property market went towards its peak. And that came dropping back quite fast as it went up. So we had quite a few, like last past few years has been quite challenging for the property market, but things are picking up quite well. Like, we are seeing record number of sales for the last 3 to 4 months, which we haven't seen in the past. So market is coming back, like things are picking up, things are stabilizing. And with the changes that has come to the OCR since August last year, that has been quite a major factor in moving the markets and bringing the buyers back.
Mm-hmm. So there is a great amount of dependence on financing in this country, and one of the banes or one of the problems of this country is that people have lived beyond their means by extensive borrowing.
Mm.
Okay, so no doubt it's a great idea of lowering the interest rates, but how many of them today are capable of even servicing those interest rates? Is that a thing which you feel that people are quite confident?
Well, I think that it's always a debate, right? Like how the interest rate has factor in. And I think we as New Zealand, it's quite strict in our guidelines by RBNZ in terms of, and you would have, like everybody would have seen, there is a new debt to income ratio where you can't go 6 times of your income. So I think those are some positive changes, mm-hmm. because you know, we, like as a country, we struggle a little bit with the financial literacy that comes into place. So I think the government is doing its part, mm-hmm. in keeping that balance alive, you know, in terms of how much people should be able to afford based on their capacity to repay, mm-hmm. as well. Now, if we look at the percentage that we have, like we are seeing a little bit of mortgagee sale that are coming up on the market. But it hasn't been as bad what happened after the GFC in 2008. So it's still very relatively low number.
Mm-hmm.
So majority of the borrower that have taken loan against their mortgages are able to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely they, because there's been such a spike in interest rate that has happened in the last few years, the spending capacity of those people that have taken mortgages have reduced, and that has played quite a significant part in the economy for other purchases. Because when you're paying such a lump sum, like 60 to 70% of your salary that goes only towards the home mortgage, you're not left with a lot much to spend on other things and entertainments and, you know,
So, if I look, you just mentioned about 1-to-6 ratio. When we were growing up, you know, we had a debt of, 1-to-3. You know, yeah. 6 was a far-fetched. So it was 1-to-3, you know. You could only borrow up to 3 times.
Yeah.
So here in this country, you can borrow up to 6 times your earnings. What are some more, what I would say is, as you said, you are close to the details.
Mm.
What are some critical things that the banks look on the finance side for anybody who's buying a property? Apart from 1-to-6 times your income,
yeah.
What are the other factors that they look at?
I think, I'll give very generic, because I think some financial advisor would be able to give a better advice. Just in generic term, based on what I've heard, it's usually the how people can save, like how much they have saved, and how they have saved plays a critical part when banks look at approving a finance. Like, do you have a good spending habit? Can you save money? You know, and also they look at spending habits as well, like what kind of spending that you're doing, you know, like if they give you a, because when you're taking a mortgage, it's a responsibility that you're taking, you know, so they like to see, do you have a good spending pattern? So I think that's one of the key criteria the banks looks at.
So when you look at your clients, is this one of the areas that you probe into a bit more detail, or do you allow it for the mortgage advisors?
Yes. So
do you probe, like, somebody like, say, Baptist, or I may come and say, oh, we want to buy a house there, you know, and you know fully well that those houses are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And you know fully well Baptist and I are, you know, not anywhere close to getting those houses.
Yeah.
So how do you suss such type of people out, you know? Everybody wants to have a fancy house.
Absolutely.
A wonderful house.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you need to do a bit of grilling to see, hey, is this where I need to take him, or is this where I need to take her, or how do you do that?
Yeah, exactly. So what I do before I start working with anyone, I do an initial consultation, you know, where we go through what their vision are, we go through their personal life, you know, what their situation are, what they're looking for in next 2 years' time, what they would be looking in next 5 years' time, and we prepare a strategy and a plan in terms of what we should be looking at. In terms of finance, I am part of business network, so I do have good connection with financial advisors and mortgage brokers. So the first thing I recommend is get a pre-approval, you know, so you know where you stand in terms of how much is your capacity to look mm-hmm. for the price point in terms of when you're looking mm-hmm. for the houses. Mm-hmm. So we reverse engineer. We start with getting a pre-approval because that gives an amount that they should be looking for in terms of price. Based on the pre-approval that they have, then we identify the suburbs and the houses that we should be targeting and looking for. So it becomes very strategic when we are looking down for properties. Mm-hmm.
So taking off from there, you see, you know very well from the database that Barfoot and Thompson has and the access that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. Suburbs have all gone through the ups and downs. Some have gone up, some have gone down, some there is nothing happening, they're dead.
Yeah.
And then you have the personal choices, like Baptist says, I want to live in Remura alone.
Yes.
I don't want anything else.
Yeah.
And you know Baptist can't afford to live in Remura. So
can't afford in blessed Pupukokoi. What Remura are you talking about?
Okay, for the time being, you want to go. Everybody wants to get into the best of suburbs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's the strategy that you apply to select the suburbs and select? No doubt you've got the benchmark of what the person can afford.
Yeah, yeah.
But he or she also says, no, I want to send my children to school here and I want to be in a good locality.
Yeah.
I don't want this ethnic community and I don't want that ethnic community.
I don't want to go to Henderson. I don't want to go to Swanson.
Yeah.
Ranui.
Oh, Ranui is right. Okay. So how do you sort of, get your, since you're you have to be a marketer and a negotiator.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So what is the thing that you bring to the table to such customers and tell them and convince them, hey, this locality is not bad?
I think it quite comes down to the personal preference as well. Like I talk very realistic and I talk about the facts. So if you're looking for Remura, I would show you what's the average price of selling in Remura, you know, whether we can look in that particular range of what your pre-approval is. But again, that would be the median range of Remura, let's say 2 million, you know, like, let's say if your approval is 1 million. And then we would, again, reverse engineer to see normal properties are selling in Remura for 2 million, but can we find some properties within 1 million mark in Remura? Mm-hmm. And they might be maybe less number of bedrooms, you know, they could be a one bedroom property, they could be a two bedroom property. Then we'll have those conversation. Can you compromise on that? Would this fit you? You can still get in superb location, but would this fit you? You know, would it be okay? Would it suffice for your personal situation? You know, like even in Epsom, like it's a double gramma zone, super popular area. Property starts roughly from 1.5 to 1.8 million in those area, but we do have some two bedrooms over there. You can still purchase for 800,000. So. You know, you can still find those, like, again, based on what your personal circumstances is, you can still choose to go in top end suburbs, even with less price. We just have to work more hard and find you those properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so most of the time, you know, you have a big stock in places where nobody wants to go.
Yeah.
And you have a big bunch of customers who want to go to a place where you don't have a stock.
Yeah.
Now, how do you move this? Say, for example, once upon a time, everyone wanted to go to Mount Roskill.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they found that the prices in Mount Roskill had just gone up north. Yeah. And then you started selling properties in Ranui. Now, how did that perception change? Now, today, even properties in Ranui are 800.
Yeah.
I would say, very close or about Walmart. I think it changed like suburbs are like developing quite fast, you know, especially when you talk about Ranoi and Henderson. Like, they've developed so much in the last couple of years. Like, I've seen some marvelous development in Ranoi, especially with the new builds. Like, you step into the house and you're like, wow, you know, this is like an amazing house, you know, and people are taking those factors into consideration. Like, can you afford that same house in Mount Roskill, which might be costing you 1.5 or 1.6 million? You are getting that in Ranoi for 900K to $1 million mark, you know? It becomes an obvious choice, you know? How far is the distance from Ranoi to Mount Roskill? let's say 30 minutes, can I drive down if I need something from Mount Roskill? Mm-hmm. So you make those compromise and you make that choice. So mm-hmm. it's in very upcoming suburbs in the mm-hmm. west, like Ranoi, Henderson. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are moving.
so two questions I have more on the demographic side.
Sure.
Nothing to do with the government regulation. We don't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
Because it's a never-ending discussion. So two issues that we have is, one is the demographics are changing.
Yes.
Previously, it was a family which comprised of children and a few pets. Now it is not a family, I would say. It's just couples with no kids.
Yeah.
Now, is the demand for houses the same? Or is there a demand for apartments? Or is the demand for big houses? Or is there a demand for smaller houses? What is the trend in the market according to your understanding?
Well, the recent trend, like people, like the, you know, we all had the Kiwi dream of having a quarter acre of land when we move into New Zealand. And I think every Kiwi still has its dream of quarter acre of a land. But the property that comes with quarter acre of a land are very few at this point of time, because majority have transformed into multi-units development. Mm-hmm. So a lot is changing these days. Like, very few areas you could find those properties. Like, I would say that something called zoning by Auckland Council, which says single housing residential zone only. So those zones are unaffected with any of the changes that's happening in the market recently. But if you look at any other zoning, like mixed housing suburban, mixed housing urban, there's a lot of development happening, and the government is promoting those development to increase the housing number, to accommodate the housing crisis that's been going on. So people have adjusted to it. Like, you know, as you said, you know, I've come from Mumbai. Mumbai, we don't have quarter acres dream. We have a dream of living in a flat, in an apartment. And that's...
My point was, you know, the demographics.
Yes.
Okay. There are less people getting married.
Yeah.
Marriage is not a priority. There is a live-in relationship, or, you know, cohabiting is what they call it.
Yeah.
And that's becoming more and more popular.
Yeah.
So given that sort of demographics, and given this, the pressure on time, because most of these people are wanting to get entertained outside, they want to have outdoors, they are, you know, exercise fanatics, and, you know, body sculpting fanatics. So in that type of a regime that is slowly evolving among in the demographics, do you think that the demand for a quarter acre is slowly diminishing, and there is a demand for and a readiness to accept an apartment structure?
It is, and it has shifted quite a lot in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years. There's been quite a major shift in the demand that is ready to accept a house with not a quarter acre.
So having said that, Fazal, what I find is a large number of those smaller apartments are not selling. They are on the whole, like, I live in a locality where Fletcher started off with about 60 units, townhouses to be built, which is just next to the railway station. And in a huge school zone with about 5 or 6 primary, intermediate colleges, etc., about 6 of them in the vicinity. It has stopped.
Yeah.
There's no construction going on. They sold a few, say 2 or 3. There are about another 20 which are there on the block. So what is the reason? What do you think is the reason?
It's again, comes down to, you know, like, yes, definitely demographic is changing, but majority is still a couple with 1 or 2 children that need some area, some playground for them to play. So that's still a first preference for majority of the people when they're looking for a house. And then, of course, we have single people, you know, people who are unmarried or people that are downsizing. The new builds have seemed to be very popular with those demographics, you know, where it's an apartment, lock up and leave. It comes with maintenance free, you know, because any new build comes with a 10-year builder's warranty for any structural defect. So those becomes really popular for, you know, for single person, for elderly people who are looking at downsizing, or people with no children. So those are quite popular. But again, a house with a little bit of land, maybe not a quarter acre, but even a small section of land, are still more favorable and more popular when it comes to property.
So if I understand you right, what you're saying is there's still a demand from the traditional family makers.
Absolutely.
As compared to the new demographics that is taking place.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what you summarizing. I will just take
just,
a short break.
Just one question on that. As you said, there are a lot of properties available in the apartment sector. I was given to understand those apartments are now coming on the rental market, and that rental market has been affected due to those properties coming onto the market because they are not able to sell it. So we'll take up that after the song. Your take on that.
Sure.
Gatan Par Konkani Radio Program Exchange R Point So Planet FM Oitan. Maya Mago Sayokar Sir Waikata Lanka Amcha Sangata Azasa Fazal Rokadia Ani Baptist Lobo was East. Fazal, we were just talking about, you know, how the demographics are changing, but you say still there is a bigger demand for the quarter acre of property which is still not available. It's just a dream. So most people want single level houses or independent houses as compared to the so-called families, which are, or other couples which are not married but cohabiting, and they require smaller houses. So one of the questions that Baptist had, and
just
Baptist, if I may,
take your
sort of power away.
Yeah.
Take your thunder away.
No problem at all.
Okay. So Baptist says that all these properties which are not selling, these mixed housing areas where there are apartments and townhouses, etc., not selling, they all come in the market as rental properties.
Yeah.
What's the impact? Because there is a new legislation which is already kicked in about a couple of years ago about complying with certain norms to put a house or a property on rent. So what's the impact on the rental market? and what's the offtake?
Yeah, so those new properties, so from 1st of July, it's the new healthy home standards is kicking in. It's going to be mandatory, mm-hmm. where it's been going on for the last few years. So majority of the homes are compliant of healthy home standards, which are on rental already. But these new bills, they are adhere to a very strict code of the council. So they are mostly compliant when it comes to the healthy home standards. Often what I have seen is there's a high demand for people when looking for rental to move into those new house, you know, because they offer freshness when you move into the house. It's all very nicely insulated. It's double glazed. You know, it's brand new, so it gives a very good feeling, especially for renters moving into those brand new houses. And you're right, there has been quite a lot of influx, you know, especially with the developers who have built them at scale, and the market has been slow for the last few months and years. So those properties are coming on the market as rental properties. Now, rental properties are quite impacted with also the departures that we are having to overseas, and particularly in Australia. There's lots of people moving than the immigration that we are having as a country. So there has been more number of homes than actually the demand, and the rates have come down quite significantly. I was just talking to last week to one of our property manager, and we have seen a common trend of actually people, the renters who are renting the property, moving on to the new properties. So what they're advising is they're reducing rent, which is actually unheard of in New Zealand market. So the landlords are revising their rates to actually meet the market rate, so the tenants don't move from the property and go to another property. So
yeah, so supply side is pretty high. And so there is a distortion of the other side. But one of the key things which you look at the statistics in New Zealand is that roughly around 45% to 48% are owner-occupied properties. Mm-hmm. And most of these people who are owner-occupied properties are ones who are in their late years of life. So about 18% or 19% of the New Zealand population is, you know, over 65, and they're retirees.
Yeah.
Most of them are looking for downsizing their properties. Downsizing for a variety of reasons.
That's right.
To unlock their equity, to unlock their savings.
To enjoy their life.
To enjoy their lives.
The last few
now,
years.
Yeah. So now, New Zealand is not very equally developed all over the place. There are some places which are good. There are some places that are not good. Auckland has got a lot of facilities. Now, as a property specialist with Barfoot and Thompson, how would you strategize for some of these people to downsize? Now, some people say that we will die in this house. Some people say we want to move to a smaller house.
Yes.
What would be the strategy that you as a property specialist would offer?
Yeah, so I start working quite early with those kind of people, you know, to work on a plan in terms of how to move on into the next phase of their life. One thing I've seen quite common with a lot of my clients is retirement homes are quite popular in New Zealand. You know, a lot of people likes to move to retirement homes. And it's because of the community they share. They have some of their friends who are already living there, or some of the family members, or you know. So it's a very popular option, retirement villages. But it is limited in numbers, so the license to occupy those retirement villages sometimes could be years in waiting, you know, and I have quite a lot of clients who are waitlisted to be part of those when one of the rooms does become vacant. But at the same time, the house could be too big for them to maintain, and they would prefer something which is lock up and leave, something less maintenance for them. So, again, we work on strategies and see, you know, what could be appealing to them. And usually apartments or townhouses seems to be really popular with those demographics, which becomes very easy maintenance, you know. I actually recently had one listing in Central and Freeman's Bay, and I talked to a lot of people in that apartment. And Majority of the people over there are owner-occupied and they are of those demographic. And I've been talking to them, what makes you live in those apartments, you know? And one common theme that come across, it's so amazing, we don't have to worry about anything. It's so safe, it's secure. You can't get inside without a key tag, so those all concerns are gone. Plus, it's so handy to all the shops, all the convenience. They just love that vibrancy. So those are, again, very popular option. Plus, there's no lawns to mow. there's nothing to maintain than just their own unit. So those things are really popular, especially with those demographics.
So for the benefit of our listeners, Fazal, can you sort of, I'm not saying, you know, those are areas where you have interest or your Barfoot and Thompson has interest. Can you identify some suburbs where you think are ideal for people who want to downsize? Some suburbs, like somebody will recommend, as you said, Freeman's Bay. Not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Okay, but there could be other suburbs that you think would be an ideal place, having the same set of options. Close to the shops, close to transport, close to hospital. In those years in life, the first question you ask is,
the hospital.
How far is the hospital from there?
No, absolutely. I think Central still remains a very popular option. But the new suburbs that have come up with, especially if we talk about West Auckland, let's say Hobsonville, that's been a really upcoming suburbs, you know, which is very convenient. You have your neighbors nearby, very nice community, Westgate, Massey, you know, so those are really upcoming suburbs. Again, the hospital, Waitakere Hospital, is super close by. So those are turning out to be quite popular with those demographics.
So Fazal, for want of time, we just got about 2 minutes more. Okay, in 2 minutes, we will give you an opportunity to sort of give your spiel, to give your contacts, and, you know, to sell the type of services that you are good at.
Right. So I'm worked with the services that I offer. Basically, is I help anyone that's looking anything to do with real estate, be it buying, selling, investment planning, or property development portfolio. So I offer everyone. You know, I really enjoy working with the clients who also wants to add value to the property. So I have some clientele who like to add value to the property, like renovation, upgrades, and then either put it onto the rental market or sell the property, you know, for some margins. Now again, you know, buying or selling a home is one of the biggest decisions of any individual in their life, you know, and I've met few people who have done just once in their lifetime. So it definitely deserves some time, attention, and right strategy. So I take the time to truly listen, not just for your current needs, but also future goals. With working with a brand with strong network, in-depth market knowledge behind me, I really work hard to deliver results that not only meets but exceeds your expectation. So if anyone thinking of buying and selling, let's have a chat, you know, and let's see what's possible for you.
So can you just tell us your contact details?
Sure. My phone number is 021-0854-1312.
Repeat.
021-0854-1312.
And your email address? Do you have your email address?
Yes, my email address would be f.rokadia@barfoot.co.nz.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Fazal. We are virtually out of time at the moment. Baptist.
Okay.
So we will. People can go to Barfoot and Thompson and look out for Fazal Rokadia.
Selina, Selina, La Marina Odella, Moja Sam Karim Bosle, Daka Polonia Kalza, Nove Tufano Brasle. Busco da lança.